That was beautiful. Just what we needed this morning, yes. We're going to start out this morning a little different than usual. I want to go straight into my scripture this morning, which is Judges 7, 2 through 22. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into their hands, or Israel would boast against me. My own strength has saved me. Now announce to the army, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead." So 22,000 men left, while 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, "There are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will thin them out for you there. If I say, 'This one shall go with you,' he shall go. But if I say, 'This one shall not go with you,' he shall not go." So Gideon took the men down to the water, and there the Lord told him, "Separate those who lap the water with their tongues as a dog laps from those who kneel down to drink." 300 of them drank from cupped hands, lapping like dogs. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. The Lord said to Gideon, "With 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give you the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go home." So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites home, but kept the 300 who took over the provisions and trumpets of the others. Now the camp of Midian lay below him in the valley. During that night, the Lord said to him, "Gideon, get up. Go down against the camp, because I am going to give it into your hands. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant, Purah, and listen to what they're saying. Afterward, you'll be encouraged to attack the camp." So he and Purah sent his servant, went down to the outposts of the camp. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the other eastern peoples had settled in the valley, thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted than the sand on the seashore. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. He said, "I had a dream. A round of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed." His friend responded, "This can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands." When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed down and worshiped. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, "Get up! The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands." Dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them with torches inside. "Watch me," he told them. "Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours and shout for the Lord and for Gideon." Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the gate of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they had changed the guard. They blew their trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. The three companies blew the trumpets and smashed the jars, grasping the torches in their left hands and holding in their right hands the trumpets they were to blow. And they shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." While each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord calls the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords, and the army fled. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Over the last 25 years, I've been blessed to speak to hundreds of audiences. About 20 years ago, I created a presentation called Getting Your Groove Back. It focused on all things nutrition, fitness, and weight loss. Years later, as an educator in the school systems at IUs, businesses, and organizations, I wrote a new one centered around thought, emotional intelligence, cognitive empathy, gratitude, and all those power hitters. how to get your groove back. And over the last 2 weeks, I've been thinking a lot about the climate of the world. The darkness, the enemy, seems to have this foothold lately in so many places. I listen to people tell me about darkness in their health, their relationships. Haley comes home often disheartened by how dark and consuming her job can be, how people are just so miserable. It feels sadder and angrier than ever. And I thought about this church. So many people here who I love, who I know are hurting. Hearts are bruised and broken for countless reasons, my own included. And sometimes it feels like it's ugly out there. And all this thinking and feeling led me back to the same title, the same thing that has rescued and reformed other topics and situations before. How do we get our groove back? Spiritually. As people, as a church, how do we get our groove back and how do we keep it? How do we grease it up to propel us faster with more precision and grace? So let's start by talking about what a groove actually is. As defined, a groove is a long, narrow channel or depression made to guide motion. I think of a slide or one of those closed tracks you can make for a matchbox car. I think of the groove in my mama's dining room table and how food gets stuck in there and drives me nuts when I try to wipe it down after dinner. You know, a groove is also a fixed situation or routine. I say this to Carol and Liz sometimes. They'll look at me, they'll say, "Are you okay?" And I'll say, "I'm good. I'm in the groove. I got my routine going. I'm in the zone. I'm in the groove." And in action, groove means to form a channel, to enjoy oneself immensely, or to interact harmoniously. So having a groove or being in a groove is a really good thing. And sometimes we find ourselves out of the groove, in need of getting our groove back. We find this in life, we find it at work, our relationships, and sometimes, we find ourselves out of groove with God, or at church, or in our general spirituality. In fact, there are categories of groove that we can find ourselves in. Now, some people have completely lost their groove. They stop coming to church. They stop reading their Bible, they stop praying, they stop believing in their other brothers and sisters. They haven't invested in a relationship, so they don't have one anymore. Now, some people have found parts of their grooves back again. They've overcome some obstacles, and they're making an effort towards bringing it back. And then some people never had a groove at all. They don't know God, or they never really did. They may want to, or they may not. And some people are all groove. One of my best friends, Julia, she's one of those people. I'm telling you right now, it doesn't matter what war is raging in that woman's life, she is armored up in the groove, making Jesus contagious. If you don't know Jesus when you meet Julia, you will want to when you are finished. But she's few and far between. Staying in the groove, finding it in the first place, can feel overwhelming and fruitless. Life happens and our groove gets blocked. And when it does, it's like we're trying to get down our favorite water slide, but there's a blockage of stones that just won't let you through. Or worse, it's corroded with some substance, and you have to crawl through spaces you just don't fit. It might feel like rowing a boat, And suddenly you're going upstream, constantly dodging one boulder after the next, or maybe for you, it's like music. And you just can't feel the beat in some places. You can't find the groove and dance along. Whatever it is, when we are out of the groove, it is problematic for us in multiple ways. It can mean we can't move forward or that we crash into things. It can be defeating, limiting, frustrating, and it can feel like total chaos. Yet there's a positive side to being out of the groove. Something that the bumps and bruises show us as we're trying to move along. They expose our personal limitations. Being out of the groove shows us that we are not enough. It reveals where we need more than ourselves to get through. And that's a powerful thing. Because our personal limitations, the things we can't do, the things we just don't know how we'll push through, our limits are merely a means to reveal, a conduit really, for the power of God, the power of the groove. God's purpose for you and your life, what you are here for, what you are here to do, your assignment is bigger than you are. God's purpose for you in your life, what you're here for, is so, so big. And when you've given everything you've got, when you've left it all on the field, you don't have another swing, another shot, another ounce of strength or endurance, is right when God reveals his power to you. Every time. And this explains why often we're given directions that make us feel vulnerable. We face situations that feel helpless and hopeless, or we may even feel unprepared for the task or unequipped to face an enemy. Because we have personal limitations, and they reveal the power of God. There are so many examples of this. Gideon was a great example. And I'm not going to get into the whole story of Gideon because it would take me a few Sundays to hit all the glorious points waiting for you there. But instead, I want to draw your attention to some specifics about Gideon. He was known as the greatest judge of Israel, yet he was also known to be very timid. And this man from one of the leastest tribes gets a call from God to lead a battle against the Midianites. And he's both afraid and unworthy. In fact, he actually says, "I am unfit for this, not me." Further, he tests God with his lack of faith more than once. Gideon was not confident, maybe even interested in the groove. But God was confident in him. He was anointed and validated. See, for God had bigger plans, as we saw in our scripture this morning. God shows Gideon just how immaculately perfect the groove can be when you slide in his groove. Gideon starts with an army of 32,000. God cuts it down to 10,000 just by releasing the people who had fear. Then he takes them to the water to drink, reduces the number to 300, and then they fight. And the cries, combined with God's immense power revealed, calls the folks inside to attack one another. They did the work for them. All because Gideon chose to get in the groove. And there are three outstanding points to drive home here this morning. Gideon was anointed by God, called to an assignment, asked to do something, requested in a new groove. He was anointed. Then he was validated. He said to God, "I'm unworthy of this, not me. I'm inadequate. I am weak." And God said, "No, you are not. With me, I will make you strong. I choose you." He validated Gideon. And finally, God healed him of his spirit of fear and reservation so that he could reveal his power through Gideon's personal limitations. Hallelujah. And that's the story for us all. We are anointed. We are validated. We can be healed and let God's power unleash into the world around us. God is the groove. We only move through it. We can't get down the path without the groove. We have to trust it, have faith in it. We have to be ready for God to reveal his power. I told you that a groove was defined as a long, narrow channel or depression made to guide motion. God is the long, narrow channel made to guide our motion. Period. End of story. I told you a groove is a fixed routine or situation. God, his son Jesus, and the gift of the Holy Spirit, whew, is that routine and situation. End of story. Period. And that feeling of enjoying oneself immensely or to interact harmoniously with one another is God. It is the groove. And that is an immovable, faith-requiring, law-abiding groove. The only reason we are not in the groove is us. If we take the groove back to the slide analogy, it's pretty simple. We don't like the slide laid before us. Or we don't want to take the slide laid before us. Or we don't trust it. We're not sure how we're going to make it out the other side. We don't know how those walls of stone will get out of our way. And often, too, we feel unworthy of the slide. I can't go down that slide. I'm not big enough. You will never be big enough. But God is. We don't fall out of the groove, not this groove. We avoid it, we jump away from it, we climb and crawl out of it. We doubt it, we fight it, some people curse it. Gideon fell out. It's when we recognize how weak we are, how inadequate, how our personal limitations are constant, that God can show you what he can do. God requires our dependency on the groove. Those that are wise not only find themselves reliant on it, but fiercely addicted to it and proud of it. Gideon knew that too. He ran back to the camp. Get up! Let's go! Let's do this! Filled with pride, ready in the groove. I also think of David when he faces Goliath. He says, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." Whew! That's the groove. But how often are you in that kind of groove? Because I want for you, and God wants for you, to answer that question all the time. But we must remember that that groove is not ours to design or even understand. It doesn't matter what it looks like, what it appears to be. We serve the God of the unseen. We serve the God of the unexpected and the God of wonder. Are you in the groove expecting the wonder? God has laid a purpose in front of you. He has a call for you for your life, and he will push you to the very edge of your weakness. He'll fully expose your vulnerabilities. You will be exhausted. You will be out of steam, and that's because your purpose, the tasks laid before you, the things that you are called to do require God, not you, God. But we have to believe it. We have to know it. We have to count on it. We have to be joyous in it. If we come back to my friend Julia, who is always in the groove, you'll quickly see the main reason she's always in it is because she knows it's so incredibly safe. She trusts it and never gives herself the glory for moving through a groove she neither created nor operates. There isn't a conversation I've ever had with that woman, ever, that didn't deflect back to the groove, back to God, back to Jesus. My friend Julia realizes in every moment that she is merely an inadequate vessel. All she is due to the glory of God. And those souls who know her, they crave that flow, that energy. They want to be in that groove. Are you contagious? Because Julia isn't special. She's just another Gideon. She was anointed by God, called to give up most of what she had to do his work. She was validated by God, bruised, broken, and battered in her life, weak. But God believed she could do the work. And finally, she was healed of her fear and reservation so that God could use her personal limitations to reveal his power. And that's you, folks. There is no groove to get back to. There is only a groove to get into and to surrender to. And I ask each of you this morning, will you get back in? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we sit here this morning in your presence, stirring over your message, we ask you to draw close. The people of your church, your children, need you. We need an anointing. We seek your validation. We know we are not enough, but we know you choose us anyway, and we seek your healing. And precious Father, I just call out to you, I beg you from this holy place to cast a healing and a restoration over every person in this room, over this building, over this community, and over this world. I ask you to climb into the heart of every person in this room right now. I ask that each person sitting here can feel your comfort, your glory, and your unconditional, unwavering love for them. I ask that you stay here with us the next little while and continue to move in this room. In the name of your precious Son, amen. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Before the praise band comes up and shares with us their amazing gifts, the Holy Spirit has asked me to go a little off script this morning. Gideon was asked to do a lot with a little. He was scared. He felt inadequate. And right now, many of us feel like that. There are so many needs. There are so many needs, broken bodies, broken hearts, and broken minds. And I don't know what you need. I don't know what anointing you need from the Lord, but I do know he has great purpose for you. He wants to provide his strength to you. So right now, right here, I want to offer that anointing to you. No matter who you are, what you've been through, what you're facing, right here, right now, we can all receive an anointing ourselves and as a church. Physical, emotional, mental, I don't care what you're facing. I reached out to Pastor Tim and Brother Harold to ask for their help so that as many of the staff and leadership and congregation as possible could take part if you choose. I'd like to ask Tim and Harold to come forward now as I finish what I have to say this morning. Here in a moment, you're welcome to use the center aisle to come forward, and you can exit through the side. Church, I love you. Each and every one of you here today, I love you. And this anointing idea came around, and I was really determined to do it. I wanted to anoint you. But I was reminded by a great mentor that I am a leader in this church. And for me, leadership means leading by example. Leadership is never about barking from a pedestal. It's about being in front of the action. Leadership is also about integrity and practicing what you preach. So today, I'm not going to be joining Pastor Tim and Harold to anoint you, because I have to be honest. I need it myself. I need to be anointed because I too feel weak. I need to be validated so I can do more of God's work, and I need to be healed of any fear or reservation, because in many ways lately, my heart is broken. So I'm going to go first, and when I'm finished, I'm going to find my way up here, right up here, to pray for this church, its people. And I hope by the time I'm finished, that there's a line of you up the middle of this church who realize that you need that anointing this morning too. Whatever it is, whatever healing you're looking for, God's ready to give it to you today. I don't know about you, but that felt great. As our praise band comes up, I hope they'll sing that last song for us. But before they do, I want everyone on this side right here to look at that side over there, and I want you to say, I love you. Say it.
I love you.
That's it. And that other side over there, now you're going to give it right back to them. Let's go. That's it. Good job. Now everybody in those back sections, you're going to say it to the front. Here we go. Come. That's it. Now everybody in the front, let's say it to the back.
I love you.
There is no shortness of unconditional love in this church. And it, when it leads, when love leads, anything can happen. That's where God is. All right, guys, let's hear that music.